Welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. I'm Josh Parcell, founder of College Football Country, cfbcountry.com. You can follow it on Twitter, at cfbcountry. Follow me on Twitter, at Josh Parcell. And I am very excited to get this podcast up and running with a very special guest today. Before we go any further, I just want to let you guys know how thankful I am that you have come to the site. If you are new to following me, I am a former producer at ESPN, also Fox Sports 1. I used to write about college football. Shout out to you guys who remember the old ACC Mania days. It's been a while, but now we're back with College Football Country, and I'm super excited to get this season started. We're going to be posting podcasts 2 to 3 times a week, updating the website every day with smart, original, authentic content. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get breaking news. It doesn't mean you're going to get up-to-the-minute information. That's not what this site is about. This site is about being original and authentic. Hopefully we're funny. Hopefully we're entertaining. I know we're going to be opinionated. That's my goal at College Football Country. It is my voice, my insight, my perspective on college football, and I'm trying to share that with you guys and hopefully reflect and hopefully reflect the voice of college football fans everywhere. That's the goal at College Football Country. I hope you guys enjoy it. For those of you who know me, you know I'm a Virginia Tech grad. I'm a Virginia Tech fan, a diehard Hokie. And who better to have on my podcast for the first ever episode than the man who built the program I love so much, Frank Beamer, 29 years as the head coach of the Hokies, was kind enough to join me earlier this week. And he is the very first guest on this podcast. And we got into a lot of topics in our 20-25 minute conversation. I think you guys will enjoy it. We talked about who his favorite players were to coach while he was there, what his favorite game was, his favorite memory, when he thought that he turned the corner as a program, how close he came to leaving Virginia Tech. I think some of you guys will be interested to hear that. How many other schools tried to pull him away from Virginia Tech, and ultimately why he stayed. Also talked about his relationship with Michael Vick, his thoughts on Michael Vick's induction into the Hall of Fame, the Virginia Tech Hall of Fame this fall. And we also talked about his relationship with Coach Fuente and when he first learned that Fuente was going to be his replacement, his relationship with him today. Also, did he have a conversation with Bud Foster before Bud decided to stay on the staff when Fuente took over? I found that very interesting. So a lot of interesting conversations with him, a lot of fun topics that we were able to get to. Coach Beamer really enjoyed it. I asked him also if it was 3rd and 3 and he could pick any running back to gain a first down from his 29 years at Virginia Tech, who would he pick? His answer surprised me. I think it may surprise some of you. But it was a great conversation, and I couldn't think of a better way to kick off the College Football Country podcast than with the one and only Frank Beamer. So before we get to that interview, I just want to say thanks again, and please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's the best thing you guys can do to help me out. Give it a 5-star rating, maybe a 4-star rating if you like it. Review the podcast. It really helps me out. Visit the website as well, cfbcountry.com. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff coming for you guys this season. We already have great stuff on the website already. More to come from there. So we're going to get to Frank Beamer, but really quickly, a word from our sponsors at College Football Country. Okay, that was a word from our sponsors. So if you want to sponsor the show, we're looking. Please contact me at cfbcountry, cfbcountry@gmail.com. I could use your money. So, yeah, go ahead and do that, and we're going to get to Frank Beamer now. Thanks a lot. This is the College Football Country Podcast. Now we welcome on Coach Frank Beamer, former Virginia Tech head coach. And Coach Beamer, first of all, thank you for joining me. You're the first podcast guest on College Football Country. I couldn't be more honored to have you on.
Well, I'm honored. Thanks for having me.
I've run into you a couple times in the past, but grew up in Blacksburg, born and raised. My dad coached Shane in basketball back in the day. I mean, we've been around here for a long time, so really cool to see the program evolve while I was here. I mean, I remember back in those. My first game, see if you remember.
All right.
I think I was 4 years old, and it was the Akron game
I think it was like 77 to 14, something in that range.
I remember.
Probably easy one to remember putting up that many points. But, yeah, well, I mean, around that time, before we get started, when was the first year where you felt like, was it the Independence Bowl year? I mean, that seems like the easy one to point to, where you felt like you really turned the corner.
Well, I think we really turned the corner. Independence was big because, you know, our fans wanted to go to a bowl game. We needed to go to a bowl game. And that was back when, you know, hey, any bowl game would be great. Then as we got to go into more bowl games, our fans got a little more wanted to go to a good bowl
greedy
game, a Sugar Bowl or Orange Bowl. Yeah. But that's the way it should be. But, yeah, that was, I think, one that it needed to happen. And you know, those people in Shreveport treated us great, and Independence Bowl was great and had a great time. I think the game that really turned the corner, though, was when we played Texas in the Sugar Bowl in 95 and beat them.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one where, okay, you're playing a major opponent, a name opponent, in a major bowl, and you had success. Mm-hmm. So I think we put ourselves on a different level that day when we did that.
Yeah. When did you know that it was time to step down? When was the time you really sunk in that it was probably the right time?
Oh, you know, we were averaging a little bit too much there at the end. We had a bunch of years, consecutive years, where we won at least 10 games. And then there at the end, we you know, 7-5, 6-6, 8-5, whatever. Mm-hmm. We were just average a little bit too long. But what I felt like, you know, when you're real young, you're too young to be a head coach, and then you hope to get that head job. And then when you get a little age on you, you're too old to be a head coach. Because I don't know of a recruit that we lost because they didn't know if I was going to be here or not. I never knew that. But I know everyone recruiting against us was going into the home and talking about, well, you go to Virginia Tech, but you don't know that Coach Beamer's going to be there. He's getting up in age, and, you know, he's going to be retiring here sometime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you lose one a year and you multiply that by five and so forth, it's probably the difference in winning 10 games than winning six and being 6-6 or 7-5.
Right.
So, you know, we were just average there a little too long, and you know, we made a great transition here. I think we've hired a great coach in Justin, and Whit Babcock has done a great job, as far as I'm concerned, making a transition work. And, you know, it's been smooth. Justin invited me over for the Virginia game this year to talk to the team on Friday. And I told the team at that time, not every transition works as smooth as this one right here, because people have gone out of their way to make it work right.
Yeah. I remember sitting in the stadium, speaking of Virginia games, 2 years ago, your last regular season game, made the trip up from Charlotte for it, and during the game was when the news broke. You have no idea that news is creeping out. You know, you guys are in the middle of the game trying to win that game to end that season on a positive note. And but when did you – walk me through, when did you first know that Justin was – that Whit was targeting Justin? When did you first meet him? And what was that whole situation?
I might have been on a ride home from the Virginia game. You know, I'm not real sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll say again, I think Whit's done a great job of choosing coaches here, not only in football, but you can look at the other sports too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Justin's a great fit here. You know, he certainly knows football and been very successful in keeping Bud and the defensive guys here. That was, I think, a good move for everyone. So my whole thing is want this university, this football program, to continue to get better and probably with that get bigger. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help do that.
Speaking of Bud, did you talk to Bud at all? Because, you know, when we talked to Justin Fuente, he talks about, you know, we know about the meeting where he went and met with Bud. And then, you know, Justin had to persuade him a little bit to stay on, but did you talk to Bud at all about consult him about what he should do? Was there a conversation there?
No, I mean, I thought everyone had to do the people here, and I made a statement. I hope someone from our staff is the next head coach at Virginia Tech, and because Shane was on the staff at the time, and Bud had been there a long time, and there were some people that were very capable. But they needed to make the choice. They needed to, hey, who do you think is right for this situation? And Witt had been out and known some other people, and knew Justin, I guess, from the former conference they were in.
Right.
And so they needed to make that decision, and like I said, I think it was a good decision for sure.
What's the favorite game? We just talked about the program-changing games like the Texas game, but take that out. What's just like the most fun you've had on the sideline of any game that you've coached in?
Oh, there's been a lot of those, but I go back to probably the national championship game, and it was such a neat night, and it was a neat game. My regret is we never made it back to the championship game and win it. That's number one. Number two, and maybe this is number one, is going into the game against Florida State, I thought we were going to need to do some special things to equal the field. And so we faked a couple of kicks, and they didn't work, and then you give up field position. And in the end, I think we were good enough to beat them straight up. If we just play the game, we're good enough to beat them. And, of course, if those fakes had worked, I'd been a much better coach, too. But that was a regret that we didn't make it back and win that thing.
So I'm going to tell you my opinion, and you don't have to answer, but I'm going to try and get you to answer one way or the other. I think that the 2000 team, Michael's sophomore year, I thought that team was better. Mm. I mean, Michael gets hurt before the Miami game. Yeah. We know how that happens.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that team was a better team?
Yeah, that was good. they were good. I think Michael and Andre Davis missed a game, a critical game. And so,
yeah, it was a pretty big one.
Yeah. And, you wonder, okay, if they were there, what would have happened? But that's all part of it. But, yeah, I think that's a pretty good observation.
I'll take that
answer.
You
know what you're talking about.
When you go to games for 20 years, you get an idea. What's your relationship like with Michael now?
Good. John Malin talks to him more than I do because John's still here and so forth. But, I'm going to be there when he goes into our Hall of Fame. And, I can't think of anyone that's meant more to Virginia Tech football program than Michael Vick. I mean, I said a lot of times, I don't know how many people knew Virginia Tech and Michael Vick before that championship game, but after that championship game and the way Michael played that night and how spectacular he was, and I think everyone knew who Virginia Tech was and who Michael Vick was the next day. So he's done a lot for Tech, and he was never in my office for discipline problem. I loved him in the dressing room. I loved him as a leader. I would say that every player on our team really liked him and respected him. And he wasn't a rah-rah leader, but when he talked, people listened. Mm. So, in my opinion, he certainly made a mistake, and I think he'd be the first. He's tried to make it right as best he can.
Yeah.
And most of us have made mistakes somewhere in our life. I don't know if there's many of us that would they don't all become public and be reprimanded the way that one was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most of us have made mistakes. So, I'll be here to watch him go into the Hall of Fame.
So back around that time, the 99-2000 time, I know that a lot of fans around Blacksburg were terrified that all this success was going to lead to maybe you finding some. I know this was your alma mater, but people came calling. First of all, I mean, you're done now. You're retired. You can talk about this stuff a little bit. How close did you come to leaving for the UNC job or anywhere else? And, I mean, if you just want to put a number on, how many schools, I mean, came to you and offered you jobs?
Oh, I was flattered at the people I talked to. Not all of them for sure offered me the job or whatever. And a lot of it didn't get past the phone call. Mm-hmm. But was flattered of the schools, you know, growing up that I looked up to and said, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so that was one part of it. I was flattered. But the North Carolina thing, it kind of got into, in the end, I just couldn't leave Virginia Tech. You know, I went down and visited North Carolina, and they got these great facilities. And but, you know, I didn't have anything to do with those facilities. I did have something to do with the facilities that we were building around here. And, you know, I when it was all said and done, I thought North Carolina could be very successful. I grew up right across the Virginia line. North Carolina was 4 or 5 miles. That line was from where I grew up. And I watched a lot of ACC basketball. I thought North Carolina could be very successful in football. They're closer to 757 than we are here in Blacksburg. I mean, you know, I thought recruiting, they were, I thought, dominant in recruiting in the state of North Carolina, which had a lot of good players. So it was a thing that I thought North Carolina could be really good. But when it all got down to it, I just couldn't bring myself to leave Virginia Tech. And that's the bottom line.
Was there any other school out there? North Carolina is the one that I think most diehard fans know about. Was there any other school that, I'm not saying you seriously considered, but didn't take no for an answer for a while?
Oh, I don't want to get into naming it, but you know, there was some pretty prominent schools that I talked with at least a little bit.
Right.
So, but I, you know.
That's how the business is, though. I mean,
yeah,
that's.
I was honored, and, but, you know, I can say this. I was really fortunate to spend 29 years of my life at a place I love. And so I think more about how fortunate I am to have been here for all those years. And I don't regret any decision I ever made during that whole time.
It seemed to work out.
As far as another school.
Right. And it seemed to work out in the end. I think everybody's happy with the way things turned
out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it like now sitting up watching on TV or in the box but not being on the sideline? I'm going to go back. That first game, the very first game last year, Liberty game, what was that feeling like watching that one?
Like I said, I don't think it was different, but I think more about how lucky I was to be on that sideline for 29 years, because that's hard to do in this business now. That's hard to do. So I didn't think about, okay, I'm not out there coaching. I'm not, you know, I was pulling hard for the player, our former players we had and the staff we had here now. And so I looked at it more that way than what am I not doing here or how much am I missing this or, you know, I look at how lucky I was.
So how do you and Justin, you guys interact? Do you guys, last year, did you talk at all during the season? I'm sure he's not. You want to give him the space and the freedom and stuff, of course. But what is your guys' relationship like during those 3 or 4 months during the year?
Oh, it's good. You know, I was, number one, I was trying to stay out of their way.
Right.
And he sends word to me to come on over, that the guys want to see me and talk with me. And and that's kind of how it all, you know, came around. So our relationship is, I think, very good. And we both will see Virginia Tech continue to grow and be bigger and better.
Who's your favorite player you ever coached at Tech? It doesn't have to be the best. Just who's a guy you just really love coaching? And you can't say Shane. Although, Shane, you may not like coaching Shane. I don't know. Sometimes that might be harder. I played for my dad. I know how that goes.
I hear you. Oh, man. We had so many. When you start naming them, you know, where do you stop? But, I think Tyrod Taylor is one of the guys that you really look back and say how lucky I was to coach him, and Ryan Williams and David Wilson. And I can kind of go on and on. And we could be here. This deal could last about an hour and a half if we got into that.
Hey, I got the time. I know you have more important things to be doing. But, Ryan Williams, I'm going to talk on him really quickly. He was in school while I was here.
Yeah.
And for my money, I know we had Michael. I thought Ryan was right there on par with him. I really did. And I know he battled some injuries after that first year that really kind of kept him from, I think, becoming the player he was ultimately could have been. Yeah. But just how special of a talent was he?
He was. You talk about balance, power, speed. You know, he was tough. He was, the complete package as far as I'm concerned.
All right, so here we go. You get one game. You get one running back to be in the backfield. You get to choose from Ken Oxendine, Lee Suggs, Kevin Jones, Ryan Williams, David Wilson, Darren Evans, any others. You only get one. It's third and three. And you've got to pick up the first down. Who do you want in the backfield?
Oh my goodness. I think Ken Oxendine will get some strong votes. But I want that big guy with some power. But there was a lot of those guys you mentioned. Lee Suggs was a great short yardage back. I mean, you could go on and on right there. But, I know this. We were fortunate to attract so many really, really good running backs to Virginia Tech.
Yeah. The list is very, very long. Really quickly, before we wrap this up, you're on the College Football Playoff Committee now. I don't know how closely you were paying attention last year, but there's been controversy every season. Last year, it was Penn State or Ohio State going in, and Penn State won the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State. Yeah. They're on the outside looking in. What would you have done? Do you think Ohio State was the team? If you were sitting in that room and you had to cast your vote for one of those two teams, who would you have put in there?
I remember it. I think that's when I would go back and probably look at every game Ohio State played and every game Penn State played, and who was hurt and when were they hurt and so forth. It gets into, does your conference champion go or is not? But one of my main criterias is who is playing the best at the end. And to me, a team could lose early and continue to get better, because I think that's what coaching is all about. That's what team is all about. Who are the best four teams at the end of the year, regardless of the record? And I don't think there'll be more than one lost in there, but regardless of the record, who are the best four teams? So that's what I think you have to really look at.
Yeah, it goes back to a couple of years ago. I mean, Ohio State was a team that got in playing extremely well at the end of the year. You guys beat them that season.
Exactly.
And, you guys caught them at a good time early in the year with Barrett and all that stuff. But
two quarterbacks trying to decide who the quarterback was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And that game, really quickly, we got just a couple more minutes, but that Ohio State game, that was probably, if I'm remembering this correctly, probably the last signature win, I think, the biggest win you had there towards the end.
Probably was. And of course, they had a good team. You knew they were very talented, and we caught them, like you said, at the right time. But then they go on and win the national championship. So it kind of tells you the caliber of play that we had going on, too.
Right.
And like I said earlier, my one regret is we didn't make it back to that national championship game and win it for all the great fans we got here and this great school right here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of coming close, last season, and I wanted to ask Justin Fuente this, but they come within 20 yards of tying or maybe beating Clemson last year in that championship game. You see what Clemson does to Ohio State in the playoffs, shutting them out, and then obviously winning the national championship. And Coach Fuente always talks about the margin for error being really thin, and he's probably right. I mean, if you stack up the roster side by side with Clemson, Virginia Tech still probably has some room to grow. But from your perspective, seeing what they did against teams like Clemson last season, how far do you think the climb is for Coach Fuente and these guys to be at that level where the Clemsons and Florida States of this conference are at.
Yeah, I think with the facilities that we look out here and see today and the recruiting areas and so forth, they're close enough to get there. And I think that he's put together a great staff. And there's a lot going on that's really good here. I mean, the fan support, it doesn't get any better. The facilities that you see, and you know, it's as good as anywhere. The recruiting areas. You know, the one drawback, I think, is that in the state of Virginia, probably the best overall football is 757 in Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good haul from here.
Right.
But there's been a lot of great players that, you know, that made that haul and came here. And so, I think the other side of it is they've gone down in North Carolina, which is a very close area to us, and gotten a couple of good players there. So I think Virginia Tech is close enough to get there.
Yeah. Well, Coach Beamer, you've been so gracious with your time. We're going to let you go now, but thank you so much. You're the first guest on College Football right. Country's podcast. Couldn't mean more to me. So thank you, and hopefully we'll catch up with you.
Okay, great luck to your show there. I think you're doing a nice job.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, there you have it. That was Frank Beamer, the first ever guest on the College Football Country podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Fascinating to hear some of the things he had to say. Ken Oxendine, the running back he would take as his 3rd-and-3 guy. I think he kind of skirted the question a little bit, going with the short yardage guy in Oxendine, because I don't think anybody would probably pick. Oxendine was a great running back, but Ryan Williams or Kevin Jones, Lee Suggs, well, I think one of those guys probably takes the cake as the number one running back of all time at Virginia Tech. But nevertheless, great conversation with Frank Beamer. Had a lot of fun. We'll have more debate coming up to follow this on what the greatest Virginia Tech team was, because for my money, I truly believe that 2000 team was better than that 1999 team. You had Lee Suggs on that 2000 team. He wasn't on the 99 team. You had a Vic that was a year older. Andre Davis was a year older. You had just a ton of talent back from that 99 team. And if Vic doesn't go down, if Andre Davis doesn't go down before they go to Miami, number 2 versus number 3 that year in the Orange Bowl, I think Virginia Tech wins that game, and I think Virginia Tech plays in the national championship game in the Orange Bowl that year. But I'm not bitter. It's okay. I'll get over it eventually. It's only been 16, 17 years. It's fine. So, yeah. Now I'm mad. It's okay. Guys, on Thursday, I've got another great guest for you guys. Virginia Tech fans, you're going to love it. I promise Virginia Tech Week will end after Thursday. Justin Fuente, head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies, now Frank Beamer's successor. He joins me for about a 15-20 minute conversation in his office that I think was a lot of fun. You're especially going to love the end of that interview. It was, I think it was a Justin Fuente in a different light than what you've ever seen him in before. So please follow me on Twitter at Josh Parcell. Follow the show on Twitter at CFB Country. And again, rate the podcast on iTunes. If you give it a 5-star rating, that is the best thing you guys can do to help me. I really would appreciate it. I was never a 5-star recruit. Please just make me a 5-star podcast. It's all I ask. And with that, please stick around for Justin Fuente on Thursday and keep subscribing to the podcast for more great content. The voice of college football fans everywhere. This is College Football Country.